Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
This conflict is not about Paul. It's not about Barnabas. It's not about John Mark. It's not even about you. It's not even about me. It's about an assignment from God. Someone needs to see Jesus' reflection in us. There's a Christian that needs forgiveness. And there's a family member waiting to experience the presence of Jesus through salvation. So what are we going to do? How are we going to handle the situation? Yes, we jump and we shout that we are the church. But now is the time to prove it. When in the time of conflict? Are we going to run and hide? Are we going to stand firm? What are we going to do in a time of conflict? Are we going to look at it as this assignment from God? Are we going to run around like a puppet dog with our tail between our legs? What are we going to do? Come on, church. What are we going to do on that next assignment? Look at that conflict. Think about it. Is it an assignment from God? Think about the warning signs. What are you going to do? Amen.
It's an interesting look that Elder Rhett gives to us, to actually cause us to see that there is still and always going to be conflict in the church. Can we just slow down long enough to make sure we really grasp that there will be conflict in the church? You ought to tell your neighbor that. It's in the church. There's going to be conflict. Why her mic sound better than mine does? Am I preaching in the wrong decibel? Do I need to? Okay. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreements. See, we almost had one right there. Did you see that? Take John Mark and leave away from here. Go. There will be misunderstandings in the church, but none of these things have to be to our detriment. That's what Elder Rhett was trying to get us to understand, that when the conflict is an opportunity from God, an assignment, if you will, then we must learn how to leave without losing. Our preferences don't have to affect our partnership. Because we can't move forward together shouldn't mean we can't move forward. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes it is the best answer to leave. I'm going to say that one more time, Ariel. Sometimes the best answer is to leave. We can break fellowship without breaking friendships. I wanted to give you just a few final thoughts on the matter. Now, you're going to give me the same amount of time she had. Why am I still on? That says, okay, I'm tripping out this morning. I am hungry. So, you know how when you're hungry and sleepy, you sometimes it's hard to control your stuff, just come out. Okay, there it is. All right. Watch this. Few final thoughts. Know when to separate. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. Because they start off in a good place. The disagreement comes, and in the heat of the disagreement, most of us would prefer to continue to fight because that's what we like. Now, don't fool yourself. There are a whole lot of people who like drama. There are a whole lot of people in the church who like mess. There are a whole lot of people who like to see fights and squabbles and misunderstandings and disagreements get pushed one day after another, go from one level to the next. They like to see one side of the church not like another side of the church and continue the fight from one day to the next. There are people who live off of foolishness. I ain't got no help this morning. I should have let you stay up here. I didn't wear anything African. Maybe that's what the problem is. That's why y'all look. That's why they made my mic like it was when we first got started, because they didn't want me to highlight the fact that there are people in the church, people who claim to love Jesus, but also love to see other Christians fighting with one another. But you do understand the fights can end if we know when to separate. What the text tells us is that at the height of the disagreement, they separated. Do you see that in Acts chapter 15? Right there in the text, Acts chapter 15, it says, Barnabas, verse 38, but Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them and Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Somebody shout, separated. The Greek understanding or the Greek rendering of this particular word, separated, says that the choice to separate was a mutual and reciprocal decision. It means that in the heat of the argument, they had actually already offered other options to try to bring resolve to the conflict. But when every other option had been exhausted, they found that the only thing they could do that would maintain both their Christianity and their call to fulfill what God had rather called them to do was to separate. Separation for them, Brittany, was the best option available. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Dr. Z, sometimes the reason we are in what we are in is because we didn't know when to call it quits. We didn't understand that there are some times that the conflict that we have been presented with is a God-ordained opportunity for us to know how to bring an end to some things. Well, ain't nobody going to say amen right there. But Tangie, in reality, you do know that there is some truth to the fact that your friend today may not be your friend tomorrow. And it doesn't mean that the friendship or the relationship can't end properly. Sometimes we're in relationships and we're in situations with people that should have long been over. And one of the causes of our current frustration is the fact that we didn't know when it was time to separate. You got to know when to separate. Not only do you have to know when to separate, Barnabas does something. He leaves quickly. Read the text, the usage of the verbs there. It suggests to us that Barnabas wastes no time in leaving. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Like, the moment the decision was made to separate, Barnabas leaves quickly. But he also, Tasha, leaves quietly. And see, now you got to be the pastor to do this point, because in reality, there are too many of us who have left things, but we didn't leave the right way. It's important. It's important that you leave the right way. And sometimes, Brother Rashad, leaving the right way means you just leave. Let me change the emphasis. Sometimes leaving the right way means you just leave. Notice what Barnabas does not do. He does not try to engage additional support to his side. He doesn't try to convince others to agree with him. Unsent, you got to be careful when you got to share your disagreements or dislikes with everybody. Because at some point, Ashley, you're not venting anymore. At some point, if you're consistently sharing the incident, you're not seeking a solution. You're trying to find support. I ain't got no help. I'm willing to wager that by the time you've told your story the third time, all you want is pity. You ain't, see, the church don't like this. Deaconess Ferguson, do you hear how quiet the church is this morning? Next time I ain't going to do no tag team. I'm just let you do your little thing by yourself, and I'm going to sit in the back, and I'm going to walk out because they don't want to hear this kind of stuff. Because we like rehearsing our side of the story. We like telling people how things appeared from our point of view. And we find enough people to listen, and every time they nod their head, we believe that's fuel for our cause, that we have won them to our side. When in reality, all we are doing is making the situation worse for ourselves. Ain't nobody gonna say amen, but in reality, when you know you're just looking for support, when your side of the story ends with, well now what would you do? What you think about that? I'm just trying to see if I'm handling this right. After 8 times telling the story, you ain't trying to see if you're doing it right. You're trying to see that if it ever comes up in a bigger format or platform, you've got some people you can call as witnesses, because we like informing other people of the ones who have sided with us. See, I'm not the only one who feel like that, Bishop. Ooh. Tell your neighbor, you just leave. You don't need no help. You don't need extra support. You don't need pity. You're not even venting. Trust me, all your steam came out the first 8 times you told it. Matter of fact, if you're still telling the same story after 3 months, you really don't want anybody to give you anything constructive. And shame on us for listening to the same stuff we've heard from people over and over and over again. You have look, let me tell you how a counseling session went in my office a couple of weeks ago. I had a person come in and they sat down and they told me the same story I had heard a year ago. But they're in the same situation that they were in when they were first frustrated. Which means they've lasted a year keeping themselves in the same context and yet telling the story of an incident that has not been repeated, it's just been repeated in its retelling. Meaning they've been carrying offense for a whole year. That other person has moved on. The whole situation has progressed, and they are still stuck at the same place of offense that they were a year ago. And I didn't have anything that I could give to them from a psychological standpoint. I had one question, Tony. My question was, why are you still there? If you're that upset, if you're that offended, I ain't got no help now. If you're that frustrated, if you're that disconcerted, then why are you still there? At some point, you should be tired of telling people what they did to you. Let me get to my, let me find my place here. You do know this is still gospel, right? Okay, I'm in the book. I haven't left it. This is the sermon she selected. I'm just giving. You can't even be mad at me. She opened this can of worms. You got to know when to separate. You got to learn how to leave the right way. And then watch this. Watch this. Learn how to keep your contention contained. I'm going to sit down in a minute. Sit down. I'm sitting down in a minute. Watch this, because y'all hungry. Y'all want shrimp and grits. I might have to buy a couple of y'all some food so y'all stop looking at me in that tone of voice. Watch this. I saw your hand. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to even look at the person, but when I mentioned food, somebody's hand went up, and they are probably the hungriest person in this room. So let me just keep on moving. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Listen, you get amens all throughout the sermon. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the sermon. It's the little side stuff, and the person be amening about that. Like how y'all say, let me hurry up and finish. Amen, 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 amen. That ain't got nothing to do with the sermon. You just want me to hurry up and sit down. Because you frustrated, and you're going to be talking this week about the same thing you was talking about last week. That happened at your last church. Have you got good religions? Okay, watch this. Learn how to keep your contention contained. The scenario actually reads as if this argument, are you ready for this, is only between Barnabas and Paul. You got to read it. You got to read it. The argument is only between Barnabas and Paul. When it reaches its climax, they make a decision. And it almost is giving us, it gives us the inference that Barnabas leaves the where he and Paul are, grabs Mark, and hastens away. Paul then selects Silas as his companion, and they head in the opposite direction. Now, let me tell you why I believe this, that they know how to keep the contention contained. Barnabas takes Mark, sails for Cyprus. In verse 40, Paul chooses Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Get this now. There's an argument that has taken place. But at the end of the argument, the decision between the two people arguing is to separate. Barnabas recognizes it's best for him to leave, and there's no engagement with anybody else in the church by Barnabas. He just leaves. Paul, on the other hand, makes public his selection of Silas, and the church now gives to them the things they need for their journey. Nobody makes comment at all about the fact that there has been a separation. You want to know why? Because the work they originally agreed to do is still about to get done. Is anybody hearing this? Like, don't you miss this? Don't you miss this? There's no reason to question the solution to the argument if it doesn't prohibit the plan of God from happening and going forward. Don't even matter that you decided to come off that ministry. Did the ministry still flourish? Then it doesn't even matter. You don't have to tell anybody, well, you know, I ain't no usher no more. No, I don't usher no more. No, I just need y'all to know. No, matter of fact, I'm posting on Facebook that I'm selling my usher shirt. So if anybody in the church need an usher shirt, you can have mine for just $5 because I don't need it no more. Because I ain't on the usher's ministry. I'm sorry, First Impressions or whatever they call themselves. You know exactly what they call themselves because you've been on that ministry for 2 years. But now since you're getting off that ministry, you feel like everybody needs to know the solution to the argument. Maybe this is just blessing me and her, because she started it. Make sure y'all understand. She started it. Okay? I'm trying. Is that victim language? Well, it ain't my fault. She started it. I'm the victim. Okay. Watch it. Keep your contention contained. Nobody has to know except the people involved. You know what this text actually shows me? It shows me, Sister Shirley, that honestly, most of our disagreements are on a need-to-know basis. Because if you know of every disagreement, you will assume fissures and fractures that may not be as big as you would make them. Because nobody ever knows of a situation and only limits their perspective to the people involved. No, we always insert ourselves into the situation and we respond based on what we would do if that situation were us. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? In reality, you don't need to tell anybody most of what's going on in the disagreements that you have, because all they're going to do is take sides and make sure you know what they would do. Don't y'all know what I'm talking about? You got into a fight with your husband or with your wife when you first got married, and what you did? You called your sister. You told your sister everything that they had did. You ain't going to believe what he said to me. You ain't going to believe how he was talking to me last night. I knew I should have listened to y'all when you said he wasn't the one. I should have stayed with David because he treated me a whole lot better. Hold on a minute. Hello? Yes, I was calling cousin to tell you what he did. Now you got two people. Hold on, I'ma bring her on. She on the other line. Can y'all come over here and help me? Wait a minute, he coming back in, but call mama and let her know. And I'ma have to call my job because I ain't gonna be able to go in tomorrow because I know I ain't gonna get no sleep. Because we don't know how to keep our contention contained. And you know what happens when he comes back in? Y'all make up. You don't wipe your tears. He don't rub your leg. And y'all had a really good night. Because you do know ain't no night like a good makeup night. Talking to the married people. I'm talking to married people only. Married people only. Ain't you understand what I'm saying? I'm just married people. And you wake up in the morning feeling good. You're all refreshed. And your mama called to check on her baby. You all right? I heard he did so and so. I knew he wasn't no good. First time he picked you up, I said to myself, he ain't no good. And he ain't been no good ever since I met him. Oh, no, mama, it's okay. No, it ain't okay. Bring the baby over here. Y'all just come stay at my house for a couple of nights, and we're going to show him something. Because you know your mama a thug. Don't you read it? No, I'm just playing. I'm having way too much fun. But because you can't keep your contention contained, now all your family is upset, and here y'all come bopping up to the family reunion, and you try to figure out why ain't nobody talking to your husband. It's the same thing in church. Don't nobody want to get on the usher's ministry because you don't berate it and belittle everybody on the usher's ministry. Don't nobody want to sing on the praise team because they didn't sing your song one time. I mean, they don't never sing my song. You don't see I'm mad. I don't go around telling them they haven't sung Arise by William Murphy in years. I still talk to the praise team leader. Here it is. This is it. I'm done. I promise I'm going to behave when I come to your church. I promise. I promise. They needed this. This just them, you know. You know, I'm just. Now listen. Well, let me show you what petty this looks like. For altar call, arise. Oh Lord, have mercy. Let me. Praise His name. You see what you started? Watch this. You got to do the altar call too, because they're gonna be petty. So you get ready. This is my last point. Don't let what you disagree about take away what you do agree about. Okay, just look at this now. Don't let what you disagree about take away what you do agree about. If you look at verse 36 and 37, the decision is made. Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of God to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed. Do you see that? Sometimes we're so focused on the disagreement, we forgot that we started from a point where we saw it eye to eye. And the plan never changed. Even though the personalities confused and tainted the process, the plan is the same. We need to go visit the new believers to see how they are doing. And if you read chapters 13 and 14, you will see that is exactly what happened. Barnabas and John Mark sail for Cyprus. Paul and Silas, they traveled through Syria and Cilicia. Everywhere they had already been, which was the plan from the beginning. As a matter of fact, and this may be what Elder Rhett was trying to get us to understand all along, that the conflict may be an assignment from God, because in reality, by them splitting up, they're able to hit more of an area than they would have hit had the two stayed alone. That's not all. More people are engaged in ministry. At first, it was just Paul and Barnabas, but now it's Paul and Barnabas and John Mark and Silas, because if we handle our disagreements right, more people can be involved in ministry and more ministry can be done. I believe it's the plan of God that we show one another and the world how to have disagreements and still stay in relationship and do His work. Even when it means that we have to separate. Because separation does not mean that it is fatal. Sometimes we separate to stay alive. I'm done. Elder Red's going to come and she's going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. But I want you to remember, if you will, what happened in Genesis with Abraham and Lot. You know the story. God has blessed Abraham and Lot so much. So much He has blessed them that their increase becomes a problem. Lot's servants are fighting with Abraham's servants because they have increased and enlarged by the hand of God. They've been blessed so much, they're now in each other's way. And the decision is made. In order that we can continue to stay in relationship, in order that the hand of God can continue to bless us both, let's separate. Separation can be sometimes the biggest blessing of your life. Maybe.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.